Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Let me add my warm welcome to Paul's this morning. My name is Jackson. I'm one of the student ministers here at St. Thomas's, and it is my great privilege to bring us this episode from the life of Jesus this morning. I'm going to pray before we begin, and then we'll dive into the passage. So please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, as you speak to us this morning, please soften our hearts and open our eyes to the truth of your word. We ask this for our good and your glory. Amen. Well, are you listening? Are you listening? That's what the passage is about today. It's what the parables are all about. Listening. Are you listening? I have a 3.5-year-old at home, and so as you can imagine, those words are on repeat in our household. Are you listening? But he seems to have worked out that not everything is worth listening to. Some is more important than others. I'm sure you've learned that lesson too. No doubt you hear a lot in life, and it's not all the same level of importance. It's of varying degrees. I think of all the different conversations you have, conversations with your family, conversations with perhaps people at the petrol station or the grocery store, or conversations with your boss. They're not all the same. Or think of the podcasts you listen to or the radio you hear in the car, the news or maybe still the newspaper, or the voice on your GPS that you think you know better than. We do a lot of listening, but it's not all the same. The diagnosis your doctor gives you is more important than the advertisement that runs before your favorite TV show. All day, every day, we discern what we need to pay attention to and what we can be relaxed about. Today, we've got members of the 17th Battalion with us. Welcome. We're so glad to have you joining with us this morning. We're honored to have you with us. And likewise, in the Army, knowing what to listen to is critical. Getting it right, listening well, could be the difference between victory and failure. There are some things we hear in life that aren't important, but there are some things that are crucial. Which takes us to our passage this morning. How important is it that we listen to the word of God? Now, it's likely that if you are here, you think it is important. But for some of us here, well, you might be checking things out. And welcome, we're very glad to have you with us. You might be undecided on how important it is to listen to God's word. And I hope today helps you decide. But for all of us here, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've been listening to the word of God, this passage is going to explain why we must pay attention to Jesus, why we must truly listen to him. And we're going to be confronted by the question, are you listening? We're going to explore the passage this morning under two headings. The first is the word that sorts, and then the second is the word that shines. So let's start with the word that sorts. If you've closed your Bible, please open it back up to page 864. We're going to begin from verse 1 of chapter 8 and pick up the narrative with Jesus traveling through cities and villages proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, wherever Jesus goes, he is proclaiming that good news, but it gets mixed responses. Jesus is going to explain why people respond differently to his message. 2 weeks ago, the crowd of people that were around Jesus, including tax collectors, well, they responded positively. But we're told the Pharisees and the lawyers, well, they rejected him. Last week, there was the sinful woman who showed so much love and devotion to Jesus. But Simon, the Pharisee, he had no love for Jesus. This passage is going to explain why. In these opening verses, we're also told about the people following Jesus. That the 12 disciples were with him. In verse 2, says, "And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." Here are these women who are following Jesus, who Jesus has saved from many evil spirits and infirmities. You know, I read this verse and I think, cool, such an understatement. It's just background, it seems, to our story. It could have been the front page headline. This sort of thing, though, we're seeing, well, these miracles, well, they're ordinary for Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, people are being transformed and made right. And so that's the scene that's set for a crowd to gather around Jesus in verse 4, and for Jesus to teach in a parable. Another story that Jesus tells, the story of the parable of the sower. I think we're meant to picture someone with a large sack of seed, perhaps over their shoulder, and they're throwing the seeds everywhere. The seed lands in all different areas, and those different areas produce different results. We're told it's only the seed that landed in the good soil that produces a crop. In fact, a bumper harvest. And then Jesus finishes with perhaps the main point. He says in verse 8, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now imagine you were there listening. At this point, you might be scratching your head. If you've seen my planter boxes at home, though, my attempts at gardening, you might think, well, this is exactly the kind of teaching that Jackson needs. But for them, and I'm sure for you, putting seed in good soil was surely a no-brainer. And then what does it have to do with listening? Often we think of parables as a way to simplify teaching so that everyone can understand. And I can clearly remember from when I was in primary school being taught just that. I remember the classroom I was in, and I remember the exercise sheet that I was given that I got to color in. And the point was that Jesus used parables so that everyone could understand. He tells stories to make the truth universal. But that's not what Jesus says is the purpose. Look at what Jesus says in verse 10. He says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Jesus says he teaches in parables not to make it more understandable. Instead, teaching in parables is a way of sorting people. It's a bit like a filter. For some, it reveals the secrets of the kingdom of God. And for some, it conceals. Some will get it, and others won't. Maybe when you hear that, that sounds a little unsettling. But think of it this way. Parables simply sort those who genuinely want to learn from those who don't. A picture automatic doors at the grocery store. When they're shut, they bar people from the outside going in. And if you stand back and you just look at them, and you never move towards them, well, then they remain shut. But as soon as you make a move, as soon as you walk towards those doors, they open up and you can go in. Parables are just like that. They open to those who engage, which is just what the disciples did. They didn't understand, and so they go to Jesus to ask him to explain. Anyone who wants to know, who wants to learn, will understand. But the point is this: if you hear a parable, if you hear God's word, listen hard. And that's what we're going to do just now. After the disciples ask Jesus about the parable, he explains it to them. And he says that there are four kinds of soils representing four kinds of hearts, each with a different result after hearing the word of God. And I think before we look at each of those soils, I should just mention what this parable isn't teaching. Because it isn't teaching that, well, a quarter of us will be one way and a quarter of us this way and a quarter another way. It's also not teaching that this is some sort of like a progression, as in you start off as the path and you progress along. That's not how the parable works. It's also not answering the question of whether Christians can fall away. That's an important doctrinal question, but it is not the point of the parable. The parable is asking you about your heart. It's asking, how does your heart respond when you hear the word of God? Are you listening? That's the point of the parable. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's now look at the four soils and each of the results. The first is the path. That's a hard heart. Now take a look at verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The word of God gets taken away by the devil. Now, is that just hard luck? I remember, though, the imagery from verse 5. Jesus said, some fell along the path, and the seed was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. The birds of the air devoured it, but not before it bounced off the path and was trampled underfoot. I take it that the word has been rejected by a hard heart, and then the devil takes that opportunity to take the word away. So that, Jesus says, they may not believe and be saved. Now, I don't think that this is what we usually think the devil gets up to, snatching the word of God away from us. But of course it is. He wants nothing more than to prevent someone from believing and being saved, making it so that you are sleepwalking into judgment. And so if that's you, wake up. Pay attention. Do you hear the word of God, or does it bounce off you? Does your heart say, well, that's a nice message, but I don't need all this repent and believe stuff? This is the time to reconsider, because you are rejecting the message of forgiveness. You are rejecting life and hope. And as long as you shut it out, as long as the seed bounces off your heart, you are ignoring your only lifeline. Are you listening? Now, the next soil is the rocky ground. That's a shallow heart. We're told there's very little soil, it says in verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But those have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And now I'm told Iceland is apparently known for its short trees. I didn't know this when I flew into Iceland. All I could see out the window was the volcanic rock. I don't remember seeing any trees. But I'm told that it is known for short trees. And there is a Norwegian taunt that goes like this. It says, if you're ever lost in an Icelandic forest, stand up. I was told after the 8 a.m. service, it's the same in the Serengeti, that there's a volcanic level of rock under the surface that prevents trees from growing very tall. And one of the reasons for the short trees is the rocky ground. The roots can't grow deep. And Jesus says it can be the same with the Word of God in our heart. The Word of God can be received, it can be received even with joy, but with no root, no depth, no solid foundation, in a time of testing, they fall away. There needs to be a depth to our listening. The Word needs to take root in our lives. Because what happens when life isn't smooth sailing, when times get tough, when the pressures come? You need an anchor. You need to truly know the promises of the gospel. And you need to know the one who made the promises, and that nothing can separate you from his love. Is that you? Do you listen but are not growing deep roots? Is there a depth to your faith? Don't find out when it's too late. How are you listening? Our next is seed that falls among the thorns. It's the crowded heart. Verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Now, this might be what we are most in danger of, are the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life crowding out and choking the Word of God. Like the vines that grow in your backyard, the things of this world can slowly creep around and grow around your hearts until they take hold, crowding out the Word of God. We've got some bikes at home that I've leant against our fence. That fence has a hedge on it. The other day I went to use my bike and I had to unwrap all of the vines that had wrapped around the wheels. I hadn't even noticed that it happened, or had been bit by bit, little by little, until it had almost taken my bike. Don't let that be your heart. It might be the consequence of lots of little decisions to prioritize the things of this world that slowly but surely choke out the world, the Word. It can also be a danger because the things that choke, the cares, the riches and pleasures that Jesus lists, well, they're not necessarily bad in themselves. We live in the world, so there will be cares to attend to. We have responsibilities. We have burdens. Being rich or successful isn't wrong. It's what we do with the wealth and success that God has given us. And pleasures of life, well, that can have negative connotations, definitely. But not necessarily. God has made this world for us to enjoy. It's when these things, though, take over our heart, because when they do, they crowd out and choke the Word. Don't let the things of this world distract you. Squeeze out like a boa constrictor python wrapping itself around you and squeezing out that Word of life. What things in your life are squeezing the Word of God? You'll know best in your life what it is. It might even be a good thing. But if it's crowding out and choking the Word, you have to make a change. You have to make the tough decision. Are you listening? And the last one, the good soil, the good heart, verse 15. As for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the Word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. These are the ones who hold fast to the Word in an honest and good heart, not deceiving themselves or others around them as they hear it, but they listen with integrity. And those are the ones who bear fruit with patience. This holding fast, this with patience, these words describe an ongoing listening, and not a listening that has no effect on the listener, or that gives up when times get tough, or that gets distracted by the things of this world. It's a listening that keeps listening, that keeps responding. And the one who does that, Jesus promises, will be hugely fruitful. How are you listening? This parable teaches us that there are lots of people who listen for a bit, but something goes wrong. There's no fault with the seed. Different success rates are not because of the word, but because of the hearts of the listener. So which one are you? How are you listening? Because this is a word that sorts, and it sorts us by how we respond to it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you going to let it bounce off of you, or are you going to hold fast to it with patience? Because there's only one way that a crop will be produced. How are you listening? Now, much more briefly, we're going to look at our second heading, the word that shines, the word that shines. Let's pick up again from verse 16. Jesus says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." I think it's meant to be a ridiculous image, covering a lamp with a jar once you've lit it, or putting it under a bed. The light is meant to be put on a stand to shine out, to give light. I was thinking of an illustration of what this might be like, and I was thinking of some great artwork, perhaps the Mona Lisa or the Statue of David in Florence. Imagine those things put away, put in a back room. The Mona Lisa would fit into a back cupboard. It is tiny. But it's not meant to be there. It's meant to be on display. It's meant to shine. And Jesus is saying it's the same with God's word. The lamp has been lit so that it will shine. The kingdom of God, that at the moment through parables is being communicated, but the secrets are being communicated, those secrets will be revealed. The word of God will shine. It won't remain hidden behind the supermarket doors. It will be brought out and manifest to all. See verse 17, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." The word will shine. It will be made manifest. And so Jesus says, verse 18, "Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." We've got a decision to make every time we hear the word of God. Will we receive it? Will we let it shine in our hearts, even when we might not want it to reveal the secret thoughts and flaws of our hearts? Will we let it shine in our heart? And so, as Jesus says, receive more light, more spiritual growth. And so the light shines from us. Or will we cover it up? Will we prevent it from shining in our hearts and risk the light being taken away? One day, it will all be clear. It will all be made manifest. The kingdom of God will be plain. But Jesus says, take care how you hear now. It matters how we respond to the word of God. It's the word that sorts. Therefore, take care how you hear. It's the word that shines. Therefore, take care how you hear. So let me ask again, are you listening. Day in and day out, we're bombarded with things to listen to. We've got to know what's important and what's less important. But listening to the Word of God is crucial. We must give it our full attention. Jesus' plan to transform the world, to bring life and hope, will only include you if you respond rightly. Will you hear it and hold fast? Will you listen with patience? Will you let the light shine in your heart? Because what's on offer, well, it's simply too good to pass up. The last few verses in our passage tell possibly the greatest rags-to-riches story ever told. Verse 19, we see Jesus' mother and his brothers come to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." I think of the woman in the following Jesus at the beginning of our passage, the social and spiritual outcasts. Mary Magdalene, who had seven spirits, surely shunned from society. Or Joanna, the wife of Herod's household manager, working for the political elite, the traitors of Israel. These are about the least likely people you'd expect in God's kingdom. And yet, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening, they are lifted into the family of God. Listening determines our final standing with God. It's how we receive Jesus' forgiveness and life. It's not about who you are or your background. It's not about your postcode or your social standing. It's about listening. It's about receiving Jesus' message of forgiveness, life, and hope. And it's about doing it. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That is to say, those who repent and believe, those who turn and follow Jesus. If that is you today, well, you are in the family of God. Isn't that astonishing? Don't ever take this for granted. When we're down at morning tea shortly, do a double take at those around you, because you are looking at the beloved family of God. So let me ask you, are you listening? Are you listening? Let's pray together. Jesus said, "Take care then how you listen." Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you so much for speaking to us. Thank you that we can hear the words of our King even today. And we ask that you would soften our hearts to receive your life-giving word so that we might bear fruit and shine the light of Jesus in the world for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, in light of what we heard, let's stand.